This is Pure Decking for January 17th, 1842. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps. Today we have on a stolen headset Madman, and on what I assume is probably not a stolen microphone, Foxwolf. Hey, guys.
I acquired it somewhere.
And Madman is still muted. So.
It's not stolen. He knows exactly where it is. I'm storing it for him and charging him only a modest fee for my inconvenience.
Nice. Very nice. And obviously, Pure Decking is back from its break. We went on break right after the last show of 2012 or 2011 there. And I thought we'd get through all of January without doing a show, but I got twitchy. So, yeah, you know, you kind of get in the habit of it, and then when you quit doing it, it's weird. So, it's like all this stuff I should be talking about and just trying to ignore it. It doesn't work.
You should have tried to fill your time with hookers and blow. You wouldn't be twitchy. Or you would be twitchy just for a different reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Twitchy and itchy.
Well, hookers are either ugly or expensive, and sometimes both, and that's a really bad combination. And, well, Madman, you refused to share the blow, so, you know. Anyways, just some... programming notes. Pure Decking is going to pick back up on the Thursday shows. Back when we originally started the show for like the first 20 or maybe even 30, we did shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we dropped it off a little bit because I thought it was a little much, but we're going to bring them back, and mostly I'm going to use the Thursday show to really go in depth on Digital Dojo style stuff. Of course, the Tuesday show is going to focus more on news and topics. Not saying there won't be Digital Dojo stuff on Tuesday shows, and there won't be news on Thursday shows. That's just kind of where the focus is going to be. And since I'm doing two shows a week, the target, I'm going to try to go for at least 45 minutes. If we take longer, we take longer, but 45 minutes is kind of the target. And obviously, we bumped it back half an hour to make it easier to get some of the guests on.
So. Yeah, we can probably bullshit for at least that long.
Oh, we can bullshit for that long, but if it's not decent content, I'm not sure I want to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Go back and listen to some of the old shows and see if that's actually true. So, let's start out with the, 600-pound gorilla in the room. So Madman lose some fucking weight, and now we're going to talk about...
Oh, burn.
That was mean.
600. I did lose weight. It's 542. Now I need another banana, you bastard.
Nice. Actually,
so does Madman live within a dick kicking range of you?
Actually, yes, he does.
Actually, I used to live within fairly good gunshot range of him.
Yeah, he knows where I live, so it's, one day I'm going to wake up to house invasion, and it's just going to... So, yeah.
I think I'm the reason he got a security system.
Yeah, it's a fairly
I don't know
one.
Whether to be flattered or annoyed that it was so cheap.
Yeah. So, anyways, first big topic is obviously SOPA and PIPA, since we've got all the websites going black. Yeah, probably sometime tonight, but it's technically tomorrow. They're supposed to
all. Yeah, I've hit up a side wiki that's already dark.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple, and, honestly, I think the whole taking your website offline for a day is retarded, but we'll get into
Well,
that.
Up until the point of it will make some of the dumber, less informed masses aware that something's going on.
Well, the problem is the sites that are going to black out, for the most part, aren't sites that anybody's going to notice if they're not. And if you don't already know about, you know, SOPA and Protect IP, you're probably not going to most of these sites that are going to black themselves out.
It depends on what these little slashes at the end of Facebook mean, because some of the Facebook stuff's going to be blocked out.
Yeah, you have individual accounts on Facebook doing it. And, of course, everybody's going to do the whole Twitter avatar thing.
Yeah.
Which is always something. I mean, you know, it's a way of spreading awareness, but the only one on the list I've seen so far of taking their site offline for a day is Wikipedia. But even then, I think for the most part, all you're going to do is annoy people. You're not actually going to... I mean,
it kind of depends on how they do it. If it's just a black page, we're down, then yeah.
No,
Of the law, and then a contact number for, I don't know, the House of Representatives just to bitch at everyone in Congress, it could generate some support. Well,
that's
some negative stuff for the law.
That's actually what they want to do. Most of them are going to have a message up saying, we've taken our site offline in protest of SOPA, call your congressman, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they'll need to explain what SOPA is just so they had their viewpoint out, like a brief paragraph or something.
Right. Well, see, that's the problem, though, is that nobody outside of, the tech circles really has ever heard of it. And it's not on the news. So...
Well, I think that's what they're hoping to do, is at least get some exposure coverage from this. I know, like, Google's putting something on their homepage and they're resetting that, so
yeah.
That'll at least get some word out.
Well, anyways, though, going into what we've got on this, as I was writing the notes, I found another, you know, they had literally just posted this as I was writing the notes. So at first we thought SOPA had been shelved a couple of days ago. They thought they'd finally beaten it because Obama's came out and said that, you know, he was against both SOPA and PIPA. And, you know, because he's been so successful at things he's against. Guantanamo's still open. He was for public funding, but then he didn't take public funding. And, yeah, he's doing great on that whole most transparent government ever, isn't he? So, you know, I mean, granted, he's got the veto power. I just don't know that anybody's told him he could use that. So,
didn't he get the memo?
He might have. But as I was,
should have read that part in the Constitution. He was a constitutional professor, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that. We're not. It's not supposed to be a politics show, but damn it, it's easy to beat up on him right now. So, let's see here. But as I was writing that, I found this Torrent Freak article that, the key line here is, it's on Torrent Freak. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Lamar Smith just announced that SOPA markup is expected to continue next month. In other words, they shelved it until February, at which point it's back on. So, you know, everybody's saying, oh, we beat SOPA, we're done. No, we didn't. They just delayed it.
Push it back because they have to talk about the budget again.
Well, that'd be good if they shut the government down just to keep these things from being passed. But,
well, I figured they were just going to use a diversionary tactic between SOPA and PIPA, just for the
whichever
fact of,
one
right,
they can get past, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, look how crazy SOPA was. Now check out PIPA. It's not as bad in comparison. It's still horrible, but it's not as bad.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing. Both of them are based on a flawed premise, and what they really do, and the Reddit blog actually has a really nice write-up of the bills, because I don't know about you guys. I've gone in and tried to read the damn things. Holy shit. I mean, I've seen obfuscated JavaScript that made more sense than these things. I'm not even kidding. But
yeah, the legalese gets a little retarded.
Yeah, I guess that's why, you know, lawyers can command such a high price. But on the Reddit blog, there were just a couple of things that stood out to me on the way SOPA and PIPA actually work. Because, like, we've talked about them on Pure Decking before, but it was about, like, 20 minutes of, yeah, that's bad. So never really went into what they are. Interesting bits I got out of the Reddit write-up on SOPA and Protect IP. The bills are using where the domains are registered, not where the servers are actually registered for determining whether it's a foreign or a domestic site. So if you have a server, I don't know, in Switzerland, but your website is registered through, you know, a registrar in the States, and you've got like a .com, they claim that because your domain is registered in the States, that gives them the right to regulate your site. And they have a huge, overly broad definition of a search engine in the bill, which is like any site that can generate links in response to a user request. Well, I think that's every website for the most part. So
anymore, yeah.
So
yeah.
They're going to attack Wowhead? How will I get my walkthroughs?
Anything with a forum, Reddit, Dig, any of them. I mean,
and the fact that it'll hold a site owner responsible for user created content is just a giant load of shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. But yeah, so anybody who links to a site on their blacklist is pretty much going to be a target of this thing. And there's another fun one in there regarding ad networks. Ad networks and payment networks include a no duty to monitor provision. Whereas the search engines, which are overly broadly defined, so every website does not. So in other words, if you run a website, you have to monitor for their blacklist and for copyrighted material and links to naughty places. But you know, if an ad payment or if an ad network or a payment site, you don't. So the idea is so that the content that's in there specifically because the content creators and people who own copyrights are bitching about having to generate DMCA complaints. And it's like, oh, we've got to go out and look and see if they're copywriting? No, we want to make it illegal to even do it so that we don't even have to work on it.
Yeah, because the takedown notifications you get on YouTube right now are so well
monitored. Yeah, because that's so fair. But, that's exactly what it is they're trying to take the responsibility of monitoring for someone infringing their copyrights and move it off onto the people running the websites, not the people protecting the copyright. That is part of copyright, is you have a duty to protect it if you want to, you know, keep or claim ownership of it. That's part of the deal. So
and the fact is, you know, they're not going to have any kind of due process for this. So somebody just says, oh, yeah, that's my shit. And you either take it down and have the, you know, blanket protection of, yeah, no, look, I was stopping the copyright, you know, with, you know, no backup to, you know, prove its validity.
Yeah, there's actually nothing.
You're getting fucking sued.
Yeah, there's nothing in there about, you know, duty to ensure that copyright infringement is actually taking place. It's just if you get the notice, you've got to do it.
Or else.
Yeah, and generally the whole what I got from reading the summaries, and of course everything else we've seen, is that, you know, sure, the bills claim they're about copyright and counterfeit, but every measure they're putting in these damn things is targeting free speech. They're not targeting copyright and counterfeit. It's like, oh, no, you can't link there. That's bad.
Well, their problem is targeting copyright is expensive because to target copyright, you have to prove that, one, someone is violating copyright, and that's hard.
Yeah, this is a building that is, well, in the end, you know, it's going to be a chilling effect. It's going to force any internet companies to move outside of the states, obviously, because they're not going to be able to afford operating in the states. And you won't see new tech startups in the states anymore. They'll be starting somewhere else. And that's actually something Congress is supposed to care about. You know, all the lost jobs.
I don't see how this will affect actual technology sectors, will it? Or is, I just figured it would affect.
Oh, yeah. No shit, dude. You've
online
got
online digital stuff.
If you do anything online, you have to like monitor 24/7 under these things to make sure you're not linking to anything on the blacklist or copyrighted content. If you run an ISP, it is in this thing that you have to filter. Like, obviously.
So they're going to set up the Chinese firewall in America.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty much what they're trying to do. I mean, if you think about it, any big corporation can find any smaller corporation that they think is a competitor, file a complaint against them, and have their website taken down just to shut them down. And a small startup company does not have the capital to either hire legal representation or even begin to defend themselves against a larger company. And so while their website's down, they're losing revenue. And by the time that they can get somebody to review it and get back up, they're dead in the water.
Yeah, they're done. So that's, you know, we've talked about them before. The bill is bad, okay? I mean, we've gone over and over and over these on previous shows. I just thought it was important to go over, get some more detail, and then review it again, because tomorrow is blackout day. Now, if you go to SOPAstrike.com, you can get a list of all the sites that are blacking themselves out or protesting or I don't know. I personally really think taking down your website for a day is a joke. I don't think it's going to have the effect they want it to have. I think you're just going to annoy a lot of people. You know, if you really, really want to make the point to this, you have to melt the phones in Washington. You have to stuff their mailboxes full of letters, actual letters. Because whereas unfortunately, these people do not keep up with technology and the times. Obviously, by the way they've written this bill, it's pretty clear they don't do that. They still get to make the rules, so we have to play by their game. So, you know, you have to call them, you have to write physical paper letters. And, you know, Madman, he was reading through the show notes earlier, and he's like, okay, I'm looking up our representatives now, and I'm calling them tomorrow, like, a lot.
Well, I only have one phone call to make.
Yeah.
One of our senators is against it. The other one just doesn't have a stated opinion.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, a couple of people wrote our senator here, and they got a letter back from him, and it was so ambiguous, pretty much saying, like, yes, I know what it is, but he gives no inclination as to for, against, anything.
Well, it's, you know, they've got a couple of big content companies that are just absolutely hammering them on how, you know, and how, oh, you've got to pass this thing, it's so much money, and blah, 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 and you know they're making promises on campaign donations and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, interesting, you know, on the whole, you know, we can lock up the budget because we can't get people to budge, but suddenly it's bipartisan when, anyways.
Yeah. It's like, try to vote on the state of the budget, nobody shows up. Oh, you're getting paid off by a bunch of companies? Senators are lining up to pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and part of the problem, at least from my point of view, is you've got, you know, the entire governmental structure in Washington. They don't live in the same world as or the people these laws are going to affect.
Well, the average senator is, what, 60?
They're 60. Yeah. They're fucking rich. They hire
that
people
was,
to do this shit. They
that was actually the best analogy I've heard to try to get somebody to understand how bad this is. Is, you know, you ask them, how old are your parents? You know, roughly. Like, oh, they're in their 60s. Okay. So that's the standard age of Congress. So pretty much your parents are going to start trying to control and regulate the internet.
That's about accurate.
And looking at the look of horror that comes across their faces when they realize this,
yep,
pretty much sums up that, yeah, that's pretty much an accurate representation of how fucked you're going to be.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Let's see, I got a link in the notes to a CNET story. Google is going to put a link at the top on their homepage. They're not going to black out, but they're going to put a link on their homepage. I'm not sure how many people are actually going to see it because doesn't everybody pretty much use a little search bar up in Firefox these days?
Yeah, yeah. Probably, but well, no, because everyone's got to do their spell check every now and again.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I guess if you do Gmail or whatever, it would depend on how I'll be interested to see how prominent they make that link. That'll be interesting because that might, you know, having the link on the page from something like Google, making it that prominent. Like if they put it at the top of every search tomorrow, that'd be awesome. Because yeah, that would do something. That would get attention. But if they're just putting a link on the homepage and, you know, it's just a little thing down the corner, like, yeah, hey guys, we don't like SOPA either. I mean, you know. I don't know. You can't.
I mean, I can understand from a business practice, you know, shutting down your website for a day is kind of business suicide.
Oh yeah, your shareholders would go absolutely insane. So we'll need Anonymous to take them out for a day for us or something. I mean,
if Anonymous wanted to get involved in a protest, they should just take out some DNS servers. Just be like, this is what the internet is under SOPA, and then crash every DNS server in the United States.
The sad part is that's
or at least all the
hard
ones that, like, they should have gotten, like, a list, like, all the, you know, history from the Congress members, block just all those sites.
Yeah, well, the thing is, again, I don't think the members of Congress actually use computers. They make their staff do that and have them print shit out for them.
Yeah, that's true.
So what you do is you go in and take out their printers.
Yeah.
But on that note, obviously I don't care for SOPA or Protect IP. But I am not going to black out Galaxy 15 tomorrow because I think it's silly. I'd rather them listen to my podcasts and our shows with us bitching about how bad it is rather than block the site off and say, yeah, we're protesting too, you know. Not to mention, it's a hell of a marketing opportunity. It's like, yeah, everybody else is down. You can hit our site, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of our site, is there a way to put a link to Reddit on there about actually what the law says?
Oh, that blog? Yeah, no, when I post the show, obviously it'll be in the show notes. We can make a more prominent link at the top. That's easy. Madman, well, I'll get with you after the show. I'll show you how to post it on the site. We can set you up for that.
All right.
So, So, speaking of our pathetic government, Iran has said it's going to send the U.S. a toy model of the Sentinel drone went down in Iran. In response to Washington's, pretty please send us our drone back. Yeah, so they're sending us a fucking model. And that's balls.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you let them keep the drone as opposed to sending in like a SEAL team or something, and you're politely asking for it back. What did you think was going to happen?
I will admit, that's some brass balls on a shake there.
Yeah, it is.
If I were president, my response to that would be, oh, you want an atomic bomb? We have a few hundred of them on some ICBMs. I'll have it there in about 45 minutes. We're going to be FedEx. Just name the city you want me to ship it to. And if you don't name one in, let's say, 15 minutes... When ICBM has 15 of those things, I'll just pick 15 cities. You'll pick it up wherever it lands. Or the parts, wherever they land.
That'd be awesome if we actually had the balls to do that. I really would, but nobody in our government's going to do that. I mean, the whole pretty please, can we have it back? The only real reason I have it in here is, one, I enjoy poking fun at our government, but... especially with shit like SOPA. But two, back when this happened, Iran claims they stole it by hacking the GPS and feeding it bad information, getting it to land where it wasn't supposed to. Which is weird, because my understanding of these drones is that they take off and land under remote control, and then they go into their automated mode. They do that once they're in the air. So, I don't know. There's something weird with the whole drone thing anyways, but... I'm not really going to go into conspiracy theory territory because we can have fun with that for a year.
So they GPS hacked it and had it go to a landing strip on their side of the border and had somebody with a really cool radio control take over?
Oh, that could be. I don't know. I mean, well, it's not like we're going to get full details out of this, too. I mean, Iran's going to brag that, oh, yeah, we're awesome. We did this and blah, 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 blah. And, we shook our dick at it and it came down, whatever. And then, of course, people on our side are going to be like, no, it didn't happen like that. So we're never going to get the truth. But it's just weird the way that happened. I mean, usually if we lose a major piece of technology like that in a country that we don't consider friendly, what do you think we do?
We don't usually take it back or blow it up.
Yeah, we don't let them keep it. So that's weird. The whole toy model, though, is just...
I'm going to have to give them kudos for that.
It's something. I'll tell you what.
Under previous administrations, I think even Clinton would have sent in a cruise missile after that.
Yeah.
It's like...
oh, wait, we still have homing frequencies on that. Like, it wouldn't even need to be a nuke. It's like, don't you guys still have telemetry on where that thing landed? Just, blow up that area.
Yeah, they would have just sent in a cruise missile and blew up the drone and whoever was standing near it.
Those drones are pretty big, and C4 is not that heavy. You could put a self-destruct on these without too much difficulty, which would probably be a good idea. That way they don't get our satellite frequencies, they don't get our, radio comms, whatever other tech they've got on these things, high-speed cameras and shit. It's a great way to fuck with people. Fly the drone almost into their window and blow it up. I mean... Now, can you imagine dealing with heads of state when they haven't been able to sleep for a week straight because you've been blowing up drones outside their window? Sure, it's expensive, but I mean, it'd be a great way to screw with them.
At that point, I'm still going with the cruise missiles. They're cheaper and more destructive.
Well, I'm not going for destructive. I'm just going for sure screwing with, but,
Then dumb them down to a little more than radio control airplanes. I don't want our budget to go that out of proportion.
One already is. Why not? But anyways, that's... Enough of that silliness. Next one. This one's great. Yelp is extorting businesses, or at least their marketers are. I've got a link here to East Bay Express, the story. It's a pretty good long story because they go into detail with each of the businesses they talk to. Essentially, what's going on is businesses are getting calls from Yelp wanting them to buy advertising. And if they don't, or like when they call, if they go in and look at their ratings in Yelp, there's always these huge negative ratings, like right there, prominent. It's like, yeah, we can get rid of those if you buy advertising with us. We can make those go away. And if they refuse, their ratings get worse magically. And if they don't, their ratings get better. And the marketers are obviously calling them up saying, yeah, we can move those bad reviews. We can change them. And it's like,
we can make sure the good ones show up first.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah, changing them is so extortion. If they just moved them down a couple slots.
Well, that was the first one. But later they were talking about how, later in the story, they were talking about, like, yeah, when we refused the marketing because, you know, we felt it wasn't within the budget, the next day we had a whole bunch of horrible reviews show up. It's like, so great.
Those are some nice reviews you got there. Be a real shame if anything were to happen to them.
I think that's what's going on. At least from the story, they sure did a good job of making it up if that's not what's going on. Of course, they contacted Yelp, and Yelp's like, no, it's not our policy, blah, 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 blah. Of course, it's not your policy. You probably, what it probably really is they probably got marketers for their advertising that have quotas, and the marketers are just getting creative with their access to find a way to meet quota.
Or you can have it against your policy and just not enforce that part of the policy.
That is true. That is true. So this one's just a good fun story. It's on digitaltrends.com. The CIA is watching the internet. Really?
You don't say.
In other news, water is wet and the sky is blue.
I mean, it's just like, really?
I once heard this thing called gravity existed.
Yeah.
It'll be big one day.
It's like, yeah. So the Associated Press reported that the CIA has an entire department devoted to monitoring Twitter and Facebook posts, and they brief President Obama daily on the top tweets and popular Facebook posts and trends. Yes, Mr. President, Justin Bieber is more popular today than he was yesterday. And yes, we think we could replicate his hair on your head. I mean, it's just like, wait, what?
And that's the problem with the economy. He's following the Kardashians more than he's following our jobs.
That's probably the truth. Now, here, this is fun, and Fox, you'll get this. Madman, I don't know how much after now you've listened to, but this is one of the reasons I wanted the story in the show. The arduous task carried out by a team known as the Vengeful Librarians includes shifting through more than 5 million tweets a day. And...
That, I would be vengeful and I would probably shoot somebody.
I talk about
probably
it,
anyone
nuts.
On the Real Housewives cast.
Yeah, it's enabled the CIA to view exactly how events in the U.S. are being received overseas, like the assassination of Bin Laden and blah 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 blah. But yeah, they vengeful librarians. Really, I think somebody in the CIA listened to some of Sean's old stuff. I mean, really?
Yeah.
This was another fun part. It's a good long article. It's a good read. I mean, it's kind of in no duh territory, but it is interesting the amount of resources they're putting into this at this point. It's called Python Guys You Can Automate. Anyways, because tweets do not always have location data tied to them, the vengeful librarians cannot track exactly where the tweets originate. Instead, intelligence team keeps track of what languages the tweets are published in, and that's how they gauge different areas of the world based on language. So I've got this
kind of a fail name they picked for themselves, though. Librarians are all about free information.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, like, they're watching, you know, tweets versus Israel with, like, you know, Arabic and Hebrew.
Having solved all the rest of the world's problems and the budget,
you know, we're watching Twitter.
Watch tweets.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, although I'm getting some ideas now for, you know, next time some major world event's going on, what we'll need is a Tor, Google Translate, some bot-style software, and the Twitter API. I think we can have some fun with these guys.
Vengeful SOPA activists.
Yeah.
Careful, they'll call you a terrorist and they'll lock you away forever.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, and thanks to the last appropriations bill, they can do that, even though I'm a citizen.
Yep.
Oh, wait a minute, 3 years. They put an amendment because they thought forever was too long. So I'll get reviewed every 3 years by a military tribunal of someone else's peers.
So that's gonna be somebody walking in. Yep, it looks like a terrorist to me. Turns around, walks back out, and they check the box.
I'd have to point out that a tribunal has to be more than one person.
Okay, so they'll have the tribunal. They'll cart you into the tribunal. They'll all go, yep, and then they'll just turn around and walk you back out.
Like, he looks Arab.
Yep, that, you know, that white skin and lack of beard. Yep, yep.
I don't know. After 3 years in a jail cell, I might not be able to say that.
That's true. That's true. This one's actually pretty cool. It's from the story I've got. It's from Read Write Web, and it's a Google is using a QR code for a two-factor auth on their accounts, which I thought was pretty cool, actually. At first, when I was reading this, I'm going, what? Because I misread it the first time. But Google has released a new way to securely log into Google accounts on public computers. Using a smartphone, scan a QR code that's generated at this website, and then the login prompt actually shows up on the phone, and you log in there, and then the session that generated the QR code also gets logged in. The idea is you don't type your credentials onto a public machine with keyloggers. Of course, if the machine's already owned enough to have keyloggers on there, logging into your account's probably not such a great idea in the first place, but it's a neat idea. So, I don't know. It kind of seems like, I mean, I like the two-factor auth idea, and I like the whole not punching your password into a public terminal idea, but if the terminal's already owned and you log into it, well,
yeah.
They, I mean,
how
they
much
may not...
information from your, I don't know, Google account can they get?
Probably your passwords to a lot of other shit. It's just a question of them knowing what they're looking for, right?
I mean, well, it depends. If they scrape all your data out of your Google Mail account, a lot of times you get the confirmation emails like, yep. Oh, hey, user 452, your password for this site is,
you know, 123456, and then when they realize your passwords for every site's 123456, what do you think your email password is?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, and how many people use the same password online every site they go to?
Well, that's the same thing with, like, the Stratfor release, for example. You know, they dumped out that forum, you know, Anonymous, or not Anonymous, who was that? Was it Antisec who did that? Anyways, with Stratfor, they dumped out all these MD5 hashes. And you could quick Google most of these MD5 hashes and figure out they were, you know, 12345 puppy flower password, whatever. And, you know, then all you had to do is go test and see, well, is the email account in here? Yep. Oh, that's a Yahoo account. Let's go try that password. Oh, look, I've got their email. So, because most people do, they use the same password for everything. So, and it's a nice idea. If you've got a dumb keylogger on there that doesn't know what it's doing, and all you're doing is just reading your email. Yeah, sure, that kind of works. But if you've already got the smartphone with you, why do you need to use the public computer to get your stuff?
Because some people are that technically retarded.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like a neat solution for a problem that isn't really what you need to be working on at the moment. So
maybe you're in such a shitty area that you don't have 3G network, but you've got your phone.
I could see that.
But then what would be the point of scanning the QR code and logging in? Yeah,
like I said.
Kind of bizarre.
It's a cool idea, but I don't think it really solves the problem that needed solved.
The smartphone would have been the solution all along. Just use it to log into your email.
Just check your email on your phone, right? I mean, you know, even if you got to connect to a Wi-Fi to do it. Oh, well. I mean... But
yeah, because if you're like at a library, one of the public computers are talking about, libraries have Wi-Fi now.
For the most part.
Yeah, Panera Bread has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but actually listening in on Wi-Fi is fairly easy, so it would depend on what email you're using. But Google is actually pretty good about defaulting to, you know, using SSL. And generally SSL is, you know, if you're doing just a dumb sniff on the Wi-Fi, yeah, you're not getting much out of that. And if you man in the middle, that's a different question, but that's... It's getting beyond the problem they're trying to solve, right? So, you know, I don't know. I just, when I first read it, I thought they were saying, oh, no, you can just use this QR code to log in from now on. And it's like, wait, what? I can just pick that up with a long-range camera. That's, I mean, so talk about shoulder surfing, but, you know, that was misread the first time, so. Okay, next one up. This one's just great. And I've got a whole conversation. It's not really in the notes, but, yeah, DRM is just getting worse on video games. Rock Paper Shotgun has a short article up with a new Ubisoft DRM on Anno 2070. It locks it to your graphics card. As in, if you swap your graphics card, the game is now no longer registered, And this particular game only gets like 3 unlocks in the first place.
Yeah, and see, and they wonder why people pirate their shit. I mean, when you look at, I'm going to treat my paying customers like criminals and pretty much break and destroy the game that they're paying good money for just so that people don't pirate it.
And the people who do pirate it are just going to strip that shit out and pirate it anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely ridiculous, the fact, I mean, the lengths that they try to go to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is silly. I'm, you know, Madman, you were over here when
I had the same problem with my copy of UT.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was absolutely insane. There's a bug in the Steam version of UT. What's the current one? 3. And the bug, if you're on a LAN server, after you play one game, or whenever you have to reconnect to the server, it's going to decide you're no longer authenticated and won't let you connect to the LAN server. This problem does not manifest on internet servers. It's just local area network servers. So if you're having a LAN party like I was on New Year's, suddenly half the people can't play freaking UT3 on our LAN server. So,
until you reset the LAN server.
Yeah. So every time you change the map, we had to restart the effing server. I mean, what? And I tell you what, anything with games for Windows has to go through like 4 or 5 registration processes. And then it's like, you have 4 unlocks left. It's like, wait, what? I mean, I bought the game and you're telling me how many times I can reinstall it?
Yeah, fuck you very much.
No shit. So I tell you what, I mean, I'll be honest. Back in high school, I pirated games. Mostly because I didn't really have a lot of money to throw at video games at the time. So I'm wondering if maybe I should go back to that practice, because this DRM is just getting onerous. It's like, yeah, I could buy the game, or I could just go pirate it and not deal with the game accusing me of stealing the game every 15 minutes.
Yeah, I actually have a friend of mine who went out, bought the game, ended up upgrading his computer or, you know, something, and just got so sick and tired of the DRM.
What game?
I was like, oh, God, I can't remember what it was now. Yeah, I think it was one of the Ubisoft ones.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on the road a lot, so he wouldn't have connection to authenticate that it was his game, even though it was something like
a single-player game.
Yeah, it was something like Mass Effect or something like that.
Sure, sure.
And so he's like, yeah, okay, so I'm offline. I need a different game to play since I can't get the internet. Let's jump on this single-player game. You need to authenticate to the network before you can play this game. What the fuck?
Well, I mean,
why do I need to be online to play an offline single-player game?
Yeah, no shit.
And so he got pissed, and I said, fuck it. The next time he had an internet connection, downloaded a pirated version of the game that didn't have that shit, and played that.
What were you going to say, Mad Ben?
So that's the same thing with the Arkham Asylum crap. You can't play it unless you have an internet connection.
Yeah, and that's a single-player game. And, well, I mean, granted, with Steam, you pretty much have to be online unless you think to go in ahead of time and tell it to go into offline mode.
Which is a pain in the ass in and of itself.
Yeah. But, I mean, granted, with Steam, you can go into offline mode and play your games, your single-player games. But anything that does any other kind of check obviously breaks. And Blizzard games are doing this now, too. StarCraft II, yeah. The single-player game, you have to be online to play it. Just so that they can verify that you haven't stolen the fucking game. And, I mean, the thing I don't get is, do they not understand that the people who steal the game strip that shit out? The only people you're annoying are the people who actually buy the game?
Yeah. I mean, that's all it is. They're just treating their paying customers like fucking criminals, and the people that are the fucking criminals still don't give two shits.
Well, I mean, I'm seriously thinking about going back to pirating games again. Of course, now it's a lot more dangerous than it used to be, with people loading malware into every other damn thing so they can build their botnet. But, I mean, or at least get cracks online just so you can play the game you paid for.
Yeah.
How fucking sad is that, that you have to go pull down cracks to play a game you paid for?
Yeah, that's pretty fucked.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I'm seriously considering whether or not I want to start, you know, keep spending money on games, or if I just want to, you know, hello Pirate Bay, at least until, you know, Pippa or SOPA passes. At that point, it's hello Darknet. So,
I mean, still, it's like, they're not going to stop it. The analogy
I mean, it's freaking Tor exists. Good luck. I mean, really?
And Tor was invented by the U.S. government to allow third world countries that have had, you know, their
slight correction on Tor. it was funded by the government. It wasn't invented. Right. They helped fund it. Minor distinction, but it drives me nuts when people say Al Gore invented the internet. It's like, no, you sat on a committee that gave funding to the group that invented TCP/IP. That's a completely different thing. So, anyways.
I've just moved on to playing mostly free games.
Well, there's that too, certainly. I mean, Star Trek Online just went free today, actually. And DC Online's been free for a little while, so those are good free games. There's plenty of open source games. I just saw one the other day, Red Eclipse, which is based off the Cube engine. That looks really good for a shooter. Yeah.
The Wolfenstein stuff that's free.
Oh, Enemy Territory?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that was fun, and it works with LAN, and it doesn't authenticate crap.
That's true. That is very true. So,
well, I mean, I think what it's going to come down to is just, you know, people are going to start, you know, boycotting these games. To an extent. I mean, you got some of your big titles that the fanboys won't leave alone.
Well, sure, but
For the most part, you're going to have people like either, hey, I'm not buying this game, or I'm going to pirate it specifically because of your shitty DRM, and maybe they'll eventually get the message that.
Well, that was one of the reasons I was really attracted to Steam early on, was I can buy all my games, they're legal, and, you know, it's all just done through Steam, so you don't have to deal with this shit. But, you know, I bought the Batman games, and what do? They authenticate outside of Steam, and it's a major pain in the ass. I had just finished upgrading my main desktop box. I had Madman over here, and I was going to show him Arkham City, because the game is awesome looking. And it was the first time I had sat down to play it on that particular machine. I had been playing it on my studio laptop, which is the machine I'm on right now, which runs the game, but it overheats. It doesn't run it as well as you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first time I go to launch it on the other system, it just goes absolutely batshit insane with this Games for Windows crap. And it's just like, what the hell? Because it registers, authenticates, fucks up the authentication, then decides it needs updating. I got to go in and like delete files. It took me like 15 minutes to get into the game, and this is after it was installed. I mean, this was just going through all the Games for Windows crap. I mean, that's the whole point of buying it on Steam. If I wanted to deal with it registering, if I had bought it in a store, I could understand that, but, you know, just having the disc or whatever. But I mean, I bought it on Steam. You know it's a legit copy because I got it on fucking Steam.
Yeah, you would think, right?
So, I don't know. I'm just wondering if maybe go start cracking again. Just start getting on the freaking. I can't advocate that because, well, that's a great way to get your machine owned. But yeah. I'm wondering about it. I mean, if you're good enough to use this stuff without getting your machine pwned, and you know what to look for in the way of, it's like, oh no, that's just a keygen. That's not actually a virus. Oh no, they're actually putting viruses in keygens now, so that. Because everybody's used to the keygen setting off the antivirus.
Yeah.
Fuck. Virtual machines and throwaway boxes, I guess, until you get your game up and going on something else. That's the problem. That's one of the reasons I like just going legit with the games, is you didn't have to deal with all that crap. So.
You'll just have to have a machine set up for gaming that you don't care if it gets pwned, and a machine for everything else, and have the gaming machine on a completely different network.
Yeah.
Formatted every so often.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, speaking of a completely different network, let's go ahead and move into this.
Me love you long time.
If anyone wants to make bad kung fu sound effects, as I say, Digital Dojo, now's the time.
Yeah! Oh, wrong time.
The most racist part of the show. God.
If you want to move back up to the, I don't know, news section, I could come up with some racist jokes about something if you want to try to make Digital Dojo less racist by comparison to something else.
Well, you know, I'm not that worried about it. It's just, it always just get a kick out of it because it's like, I'm not a racist, but I play one on the internet. So, but, First tool we have up, I've not gotten to play with any of these really, which is unfortunate because I'd prefer to actually have used the tools before I start talking about them. But this first one is neat looking. It's called SS Shuttle, SSH Uttle, is, I've got the link in there. It's on GitHub. It's a poor man's VPN over SSH. It's a wrapper program around SSH for making use of the proxy, the SOX proxy you can get in SSH for pretty much giving you a VPN. You can route everything through the SSH tunnel. And the cool thing is, as long as they've got the tunneling set up, you don't have to have admin on the server you're coming out of. So any of those free shell accounts you can get out there, there's tons of them, universities offer them, whatever, that you just SSH into, you can bounce your connection through those without a question with this tool. So if you got, you know, if you're trying to get around, I don't know, say the Great Firewall or China or whatever, this would probably be a good way to do it. Not to mention if you just need to get out of a network. There's lots of legitimate reasons for that. I don't really need to go over it. But it's a poor man's VPN. It's easy enough to set up because it's just SSH. So, neither of you use SSH, do you?
Not really, but I was just thinking if you wanted to get back into torrenting video games, and you could do a free SSH.
Yeah?
I can see first he's getting a lot more DMCA complaints.
That's probably the case.
Oh, this is a tool that can make one of my friend's jobs a lot more annoying if I start utilizing correctly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and that's for damn sure. trying to track that down.
Saved.
Trying to track that down too. Shit. I'm just thinking now, if you're on a network and somebody's using that, because what do you do for most of it? It's browser, right? So it's gonna look like it's coming out of whatever machine's running SSH. It's like, why is our mail server running a BitTorrent client? You know, what the fuck? But
and then depending on where you sit in the IT structure, you got to go and talk to all the other staff IT in there. It's like, hey man,
all right,
who's
doing
fuckers
this?
Is running a torrent on our mail server? Take that shit off there.
Or when you go on the server, of course, there's nothing there. So it's just like, what the hell? So this next one up is this one's pretty cool. It's called the Data Loss DB, and they've built a database at datalossdb.org of data breaches where, like, Anonymous or whatever have gotten in there and pwned a system and done a release, and it's a nice big searchable index, and it's really fucking big. So you might want to go double-check any sites you've given credit card information to and see if they're in here.
Ooh, this could actually be cool for checking on banks and crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's lots of good stuff here.
Anything that you're about to do business with.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, one of the reasons I put stuff in Digital Dojo is so that later I can go through my own show notes on the blog, on the site and get to tools wherever I am, because it's like, oh, there's the link. So this is one of those where it's like, I want the link later for myself, so I'm putting it in the show notes. Yeah, there's a lot of good use for this one. The last one up I've got in Digital Dojo is called the Mini Pwner. And this is just fun. What it is it's a cheap, easy-to-assemble little Dropbox. It's comparable to a Pony Express, if you know what those are. It's a $20 wireless travel router, a flash drive, and a battery. And you can go drop it off somewhere. Like, if you can get into a building and you want to have Wi-Fi on their network, you find like a Wi-Fi drop under, or not Wi-Fi, you find like an Ethernet drop under a chair and just leave this thing under a chair in their waiting room, right? And now you're on their network. Or maybe you're at work and you just need an easy way to get on a network. And he's got full instructions of building these things. And I can, again, imagine hell on your network administrators trying to figure out where the hell that damn unauthorized wireless access point is. Because this thing is tiny. You could, like, hide it in a potted plant or a teddy bear or something. So, I mean, backpack, book. Ooh, I could easily see hiding this alone, like, a bookshelf. Network cable going from a book down to a freaking wall drop. I mean, I just imagine the network admins going nuts trying to find these things.
So the best thing is, if it's in a nice little secluded area, you could easily pop the wall plate off, pop the connector out of there, plug it all in, shove it back in the wall, and put the connection plate back up, They would probably never find that.
It's small enough you could probably do that. I don't think you couldn't get it in the electrical box. You'd have to pop the whole box out. But
yeah.
Hiding it in the wall is certainly doable. It's a pen test tool. It's like, you know, you're breaking in someplace and you want to have wireless access on their network. So you SE your way in someplace. And actually, I was thinking places that have the floor drops, like computer labs, they've often got those drops in the floor where you lift up the panel and there's a foot-by-foot box with power outlets and network cords. Hide it down there. Good God. you don't even have to disassemble anything there. You just open it up, pop it in, and you're done. And it runs on 12 volts, so it's easy enough to grab like a cell phone battery if you don't have a way to run power to it and have it go forever long the battery goes. But it's just, you end up with a little Linux box that you can drop in anywhere and has Wi-Fi and a network port. So, but let's see, that's pretty much all I had for the Tuesday show here. On Thursday's show, I'm probably going to be talking about building a digital dojo because I've been going over my own lab setup. So I think that's what we're going to spend most of the time talking about because I've got some neat ideas involving iSCSI and Pix booting, like Windows machines, so you can take LVM snapshots and stuff. So assuming some things I've ordered show up, that's what we'll be talking about. If not, we'll have Madman do a belching session or something on. And
I'll stock up on the beer.
There we go. Obviously, listen to the stream. Sard has been doing a ton of work programming the thing here lately. I have nothing every Saturday. And, of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site and Twitter handles. Does anybody else have shit they wish to pimp?
If anyone's listening and wants to try to actually stop Soap or a Pippa, find out who your congressman is or senator and call and bitch them out. Will help.
Actually bitch them out. Get pissy.
Oh, yeah.
Check the I Have Nothing or the Galaxy 15 page shortly, and we will have a link up there to a list of your state senators.
Yeah, we can do that.
As I know that link exists somewhere on Reddit. I saw it today. Yeah, I bookmarked it.
Yeah. Grab me the link. We'll get it up there because Madman had another couple other links he wanted to get up there. So we'll take care of that after the show. So absolutely. And I think that's it. So we're going to close out with, of course, this Neville DeMar album that I love. So
in front.